Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And I'm reading from the ESV, so if you notice some differences, it might be our translations. And Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." So this morning we're going to be looking at some really well-known verses in the Bible. You might have learnt them and memorized them when you were in Sunday school growing up, or heard them preached on before. And as we look at it, I'll share a little of what this looks like for me in the Czech Republic. I have lived as a missionary for the last 4.5 years in Central and Eastern Europe. So we'll sort of go between what Scripture says and how to obey that and what that looks like for me. So if I was to ask you, what are the commands in the verses we just read? I wonder what you'd say. In English, there's a few different options. We read that we go and we make disciples and we baptize them and we teach them to obey. So in English, it kind of seems like there are 4 different commands for us. But if we look at the original language, there's actually just 1 command in that chunk that I just read, and that's to make disciples. These verses are called the Great Commission, and they were Jesus' last words on earth. But that doesn't mean that they're just for missionaries or for pastors. They're for everybody. Everyone who follows Jesus is invited to follow him and make disciples. Some of us are in different places, though. And Jesus tells us to make disciples of all nations. And I know that in this church, we pray for and partner with people in Kenya and Guatemala and Europe and Asia. It's a beautiful thing to be part of God's commission to all the nations. I serve with an organization called Josiah Venture. So we are, as an organization, praying for a movement of God among the youth of Central and Eastern Europe. With less than 1% of the population knowing Jesus as their Savior, it will take a movement of God. Things like communism ravish the countries where I am serving, which means that the church was persecuted heavily and is really quite small today. And so we want to serve that local church and build it up by equipping young leaders to fulfill Christ's mission and to make disciples. But why are we focused on making disciples? Why should we be focused on making disciples? Well, there's a slide that shows the numbers behind this. If a great evangelist led 1,000 people to Christ every single day, it would take 17,500 years to reach the whole world for the gospel. However, if one person came to Christ and was discipled to lead a friend to Christ every 6 months, it would start off a bit slower. By the end of that first year, you'd just have 4 Christians. By the next year, I think you'd have 8, if my statistics are right. But by year 17, the whole world will have responded to the gospel. Now, obviously, not everyone who hears the gospel responds positively, but there's definitely something to this multiplication where I reach out to you because you're my friends, and then I help you reach out to your friends, who reaches out to their friends with this story that changes lives and is life and life abundant. I first went to the Czech Republic 10 years ago this summer with a team from this church, and there I met Maya. Maya, I'm assuming the PowerPoint's just not working. There's a picture of Maya. She's beautiful. Oh, here we go. Maya is the girl with the scarf and the glasses, although there's lots of us wearing glasses in that photo. So Maya's the girl with the scarf, and she came to a camp because she wanted to learn English. And through camp, she heard the gospel for the very first time. And Maya accepted Jesus. She is the first believer in her family for generations. Today, 10 years later, Maya is leading that camp where she came to Christ. And she is a teacher and is reaching out to her students in the most atheistic country in Europe. And she is sharing the hope that she has. But a few summers after that first camp with Maya, she invited her stepsister, Katya, who's beside me in the photo. And Katya heard this gospel that she'd never heard before. And she responded a couple of years later. She accepted Christ as her Savior. Today, Katya is a missionary with our organization. She is on the team that makes those beautiful videos like we saw earlier. And she disciples young girls in the town where we get to live in the same town. I love it. And she disciples girls there. And again, she's a disciple who is making disciples. The third girl in that picture is Bara. Bara was in my English class in 2010. And again, she comes from a completely unbelieving family. But it was my great privilege on a dark, dewy football pitch in the mountains in the Czech Republic one night. I got to pray with Bara as she accepted Jesus as her Savior. And today, Bara is a student, so she's still studying. And she actually has chosen to study in Ukraine this year so that she can serve the local church there. And she is doing amazing things for the gospel. Disciples who make disciples will fulfill Christ's commission. But how do we make disciples? So that's the command in the Great Commission, to make disciples. But how do we do that? Well, the other verbs give us the tools, or they tell us what we need to do. We need to go. Jesus clearly says in John 20, verse 21, that as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. He sends us into this world with the beautiful message we have. We get to be salt and light and a beautiful fragrance for Christ wherever we go, whether that's to the hairdresser or Tesco or school or work or at the Christmas fair on Friday night in Saintfield. We get to go and be a light in those places. But the key is we do need to go. In the history of the Coast Guard and lifeboat stations, no drowning person has ever politely knocked on the door asking if someone would please come rescue them. We need to go. And in Josiah Venture, we have identified some key ways that we can go in Central and Eastern Europe. We call them highways. So one highway is English. We are so lucky that we get to speak English. So many people want to learn English because Czech is a hard language to travel with. They only speak it in Czech. And so they want to learn English so they can leave their country to travel or to work. And so young people every summer come to our 80 or so English camps that we have across our countries. And we get to teach them quality English and share the gospel. Sorry, I keep hitting these microphones. And we also get to go and teach English in local schools. I go into my local schools where I live and teach English and get to sort of be a bridge between the church and young people. And because with 1% believers, it's very, very rare that people know I've ever even met a Christian sometimes. So it's a beautiful privilege that we get to go and use our ability to speak English to make disciples. Another thing about our countries is you're either a professional sports player or you kick the football around with your mates on a Saturday afternoon. There's no real in-between. Schools don't really get into sports in a big way. And so we have an incredible privilege because everyone kind of wants to be Messi, or any footballer. Young men really want to grow up and be like their idols. And so we teach football and floorball and a couple of other sports where young people can play on these sports that are coached by a Christian who's been well trained. And every week that as they practice and play, they're hearing the word of God through devotions. Another thing that's kind of true of all of us is we all secretly want to be rock stars, especially young people. And so we use that too. We have a music ministry where young people can learn how to play an instrument and sing in a pop rock choir. And again, every week, every practice, they are hearing from the Word of God and they're getting exposure to church and Christians, and we get to carry light into those situations. We also have the Highway of Schools, and we have a program called Exit, where we go in and kind of take over a school for the day and bring in a band, and young people get really excited, and then we teach all the classes in school that day. We teach preventative lectures about alcohol and drugs and things like that. And then at the end of the week, after we've sort of gone around all the schools, we have a concert with the band, and young people go and they get exposed and they hear the gospel at these concerts and are invited to come to church after. And then young people are always on their phones and always watching TV. So there's this highway of media. And we're just at the beginning of learning how we can use media and Instagram and Facebook to share the gospel and disciple young people. Right now, where I serve is camps. So you see that part of English sports and music is camps. And this is the ministry I get to be a part of. And camps change lives. You've heard three stories already today of three girls who accepted Christ through camps and are now helping to run those ministries and disciple others. This summer, I had the great privilege to go down to Bulgaria. And Bulgaria is right one of the most southern country that we serve in. And there I got to meet a girl called Sveti, and I think she's going to appear. Sveti and I had two words in common, hi and selfie. But we had somehow managed to build a relationship through a translator and by throwing a frisbee back and forth. Bulgaria is an Orthodox country, and it had a cruel dictator for decades. And Sveti actually lives in a children's home there. So this is actually the very first thing that she'd come to with church. I was leaving camp early, but I really wanted to give Sveti something to remember camp. And I have had this little bracelet on that has the theme for camp and the four symbols that clearly communicate the gospel. And so through a translator, I got to share the gospel with Sveti that week. And at the end of the week, I got a Facebook message to say that she had accepted Christ that week. And she is actually just one of 500 young people. And this summer, we had 122 camps in our 13 countries, where over 500 young people heard the gospel and responded, saying, yes, I believe that that happened for me, that Jesus died for me. And those 500 young people, we actually had over 3,000 or almost 3,000 non-believing young people at those 122 camps. And prayerfully, it's November, prayerfully, those 500 and many of those 3,000 are now getting plugged into their local churches and being discipled to make other disciples for Jesus. The next photo shows the people who lead this ministry. So this is a group of 30 of us. In each country, we have people who lead this ministry for that country. And it's my joy to lead this group of people. It's my responsibility to train them and to make sure they have all the resources they need to do camp well, from quality English lessons to talks that clearly communicate the gospel to the t-shirts that all the young people want to get and wear all summer long. So I get to travel a lot from Estonia and Latvia in the north all the way down to Bulgaria and Ukraine and Germany. We're in 14 countries now. And I get to serve however they need me most. So sometimes that looks like going to a conference and speaking and sharing and equipping the local church in Latvia or Estonia. And sometimes it looks like traveling and helping people figure out Excel spreadsheets and stuff like that, which is also a key part of the ministry. And I adore that this is what God has called me to do. It's definitely a place where my giftings meet the needs that exist in the world. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. So going can look like a lot of different things. It can look like raising your children well And it can look like being always ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. And it can look like helping with Excel spreadsheets in Bulgaria. But we're all called to go. And so another way we make disciples is by baptizing. It says to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this means we are helping people identify with Christ. They are saying that old has gone and the new has come, and they are fully identifying with Christ and saying they are a new creation. Jesus tells us that there is a cost in following him, and that we are to take up our cross and follow him. And with only 1% of the population being believers in the countries where we serve, there's often a clear cost. We have stories of young people who've been banned from going to church or youth group by parents. And we have every summer, we kind of have a few stories where a young person goes home after camp, says they came to Christ, and they're thrown out of their homes. Thankfully, usually in those stories, the local church is able to provide a home for those young people going forward. And again, they're discipled and looked after by their local body. So there is a cost in identifying with Christ and being identified with him, not just in Asia and places like that, but also in Europe, in Estonia and Czech, and even here sometimes. The final point in how we make disciples is we teach them to obey all that Jesus commanded us. In our context, that looks like equipping young people to read their Bibles and pray, inviting them to church and youth group where they will be taught. And we very quickly teach them how to reach out to their friends. You heard stories of Maya and Bara and Katya, who all, within a couple, like within months even, were reaching out to their friends with the gospel. And there's actually one more command in this passage that we read. I said that the only one was to make disciples, but that's not quite true. And there's another command, and it's a little strange. The other command is to behold. And that's the version I read out this morning. But there's actually a few other translations of it too. Some say see, some say remember. So it says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Or remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Or see, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I think it's this command that enables us to do the other one. I think it's only as we remember who Christ is and what he has done for us that we're ready to go and make disciples by going and teaching and baptizing. And we get to do this. This isn't like some horrible thing that we have to do. This is something we get to do. Jesus has changed our lives, and so we get to go and share this story of life and life abundant with all the people around us. And we get to go to even places where we don't get to go. And you guys support this great commission in the Czech Republic and in Guatemala and in Kenya by your prayers. And I am so very grateful for this church and the emails that I get and the encouragement and how I know that I'm prayed for on a Sunday and on a Wednesday and all the days in between. So I want to make sure you get to rejoice in what God is doing in the nations. God is changing lives. And I think that part of heaven will be introducing you to Sveti, who you prayed for, who came to Christ this summer in Bulgaria. And Maya and Katya and Bara and the hundreds of other young people whose lives are being changed through this ministry. I actually send out monthly-ish prayer emails. And if you'd like to sign up to receive those, there's a sign-up sheet in the vestibule. So I just wanted to let you know that that's an opportunity. And as a missionary, I get to raise my living and ministry costs as well, and things that allow me to travel to Bulgaria and pay my Czech teacher and all of those good things. So thank you so much Mag and the ladies who work in the mission shop and the people who buy from the mission shop and donate to it. And thank you to all those who partner with me faithfully by giving £5 or £50 or £100 a month. I could not go unless you guys sent me. So thank you. Thank you so much for sending me with your prayers and financial support. If you would like to partner with me financially, whether one time or monthly, you can do that. I have these little response slips in the vestibule too. So if you'd like more information or to read my update or any of those good things or get my prayer card, you can do that in the vestibule this morning afterwards. So all of us as believers are invited to follow this Great Commission and its commands to make disciples of all nations. It looks different for each of us. It looks different for you to go versus for me to go. But we all need to go. Missionaries aren't special. We're all either missionaries or mission fields. So let's go, guys. We've got nothing to fear, and we've got a message of hope and joy and salvation that the world desperately needs to hear. Let's make disciples as we're going, baptizing them and teaching them to obey God's word, remembering that Jesus has the authority and he is with us always. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for saving us. I thank you that even before time began, you planned for Christ Jesus to come and die for us. Thank you for this message of hope and joy and life abundant that has changed our lives and that we get to take to the people we love and the people on the street and the people in the nations. I pray that we would faithfully go this week and knowing that you will give us the words we need to say and the timing to say it. Father, I pray for opportunities this week to go and to share this message and to encourage one another and to grow in our faith. Father, I thank you so much for this church and how they send people to the nations. I pray that you would encourage them with stories of how you're at work. And I thank you that one day in heaven, we'll get to party with you over every lost sheep that was found and every life that was changed by your gospel. We love you, Lord. Amen.